Hello, 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 friends. Welcome to another bomb.com subscribe-worthy episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host, Chantel, and I have my too cool for school bestie and guest host with me, Miss Marie Rose. And tonight we're talking about animal guides. I don't know why every time I say the title of the show, it's sing-songy, but that's what it is, y'all. So this episode is technically part two to another episode we did, but I'll share more about that shortly. But before I do, we have some shout outs for some very special friends to the show. So we do have a new friend to the show, and this friend goes by LJ Stoner 007. So I love your name. Thank you so much for joining us, friend. We're so happy to have you with us. To the Hall family, we're thinking of you and keeping you and your loved ones in constant love and light. Please reach out whenever you feel the need. To my awesome family that tunes in every single week and likes every single social media post, and I do mean every single one, I appreciate you so much more than I could ever say. Your support, your constant, daily, hourly, by-the-minute support, it truly means everything to me. To my friends on Twitter and Facebook and people that email and follow the show, Haunted Princess, Honey Queen, Five Easy Pieces Pod, Pod Genie, Pod Knife, Podern Family, Underdog Pods, Dylan Royal, Draft Scholar, Muse, Spooks and Chills, Rob Christofferson, Sean Stacy, The Pod Couple, My So-Called Whatever, Sharp the Podcast, Movie Madness Podcast, Tracy, Stranger Than Podcast, Hillbilly Horror Stories, Pirate 66, Susan Slayton, Drift and Ramble Podcast, Juliet Miranda, Criminology Podcast, Jake and Tom Conker, John Canena, Nerds with Words, The Countdown Pod, Scream Radio, David the Producer, Angela Backing, Nate Moore, Jamie Facenda. Jamie, I'm so sorry if I butchered your last name. I super apologize. And to every single friend to the show, if I didn't mention you, it was not on purpose. I super promise. All of you, thank you so, so much for all of your continued support, for following the show, for reaching out and interacting on social media, for, I mean, everything you do. It just means the world to me, and you make podcasting so much fun. I really enjoy interacting with all of you, listening to your shows if you have one, and liking and loving all of your posts as well. So I'd also like to say thank you, eternal thank you to Tony the Mechanic, who left us an awesome review on iTunes. Tony said, Chantel and Marie do a great job of putting a different spin on subjects than other podcasts of this nature. I really enjoy their insight and enthusiasm. This is such a fun show, a must listen for everyone, your friends at Hillbilly Horror Stories. That is such an amazing review. Thank you eternally for taking time to listen and leave that review. We love you. So like I said, tonight we're talking about animal guides, and you definitely want to know about animal guides because they're animals that guide you. So this episode is part two, like I said, to an episode we did on spirit guides. Also an episode you'll want to hear because, you know, you want to know your spirit guides, right? So the spirit guide episode, which was part one, was done as a contribution to a podcast pack created as a fundraiser for those affected by Hurricane Harvey in Houston, Texas. So it was actually a really cool thing. A podcaster from Houston came up with a brilliant idea to put this together, and here we are. So the podcast pack can be found at generosity.com, and from there you can do a search for Hurricane Harvey podcast pack, and it'll come right up on the first page. So to get the pack, which includes 48 special edition podcast episodes from 48 kick-ass podcasters, including yours truly, you donate $10 minimum, you know, hopefully more, to the campaign, and you'll receive a link to download the pack. So the goal is to raise a minimum of $5,000, and I know that we can definitely surpass that for all of our friends and family in Houston, Texas. So I'll make sure I put the link in the show notes. And you guys can find those show notes at themediamatters.com. And lastly, before we kick the show off, I do have a special announcement that is like live today. And this is Monday, September 18th. I think that's the date, 2017. So I did just find out about this a few hours ago. And you guys, I cannot even tell you how ecstatic I am. So The Media Matters has been invited to join none other than Bomb Pod Media Network. What does that mean? Listen, there's going to be so much, so many details coming out in the future episodes, near future episodes, let me just say that. But I can tell you this right now, this network already has some incredible shows that will call it home, such as Mysterious Radio and Hillbilly Horror Stories, which, you know, I talk about them all the time because I super duper love them. So stay tuned for more on this dream and history making situation. I seriously could not be happier. So then, on with the show. So tonight we're talking animal guides.
Woohoo!
Animal guides. So we did talk about spirit guides. That is technically part one to this episode. And we'll make sure you guys know how to get to it. It is a contribution we did for the Hurricane Harvey relief efforts as a way to raise some money. So we'll make sure that you guys have all the information you need in order to hear part one on spirit guides. So for part two, we're going to be talking animal guides. So my lovely Marie, what is an animal guide?
Well, an animal guide or a spirit animal is much like a spirit guide, except the spirit animal guides you through your life. It's just a spirit guide in animal form. Basically guides you through different situations. Spirit guides or spirit animals have also been called power animals, totem animals, but I believe that power animals and totem animals are different from your spirit animal, in that the power animal is basically a reflection of yourself, the qualities of that animal, what they represent in yourself, and they're there to teach you about you. Whereas your spirit animal is there to guide you through difficult situations, much like your spirit guide.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, an animal guide, like a spirit guide, and like Marie was saying, they're messengers or teachers that come in the form of an animal, and they're assigned to provide quote unquote medicine to us in the form of the guidance, the protection, the power, and the wisdom. And, you know, like Marie was saying, like the spirit guides, they're here to help us, are here to help us learn about ourselves so that we can proceed forward on our life path, our life plan, in the most optimal and balanced way. I mean, they're not there just to be admired. You know, some of them are just magnificent. And when you see them, you're like, oh my God, that's my animal guide. But they really do. They carry meaningful messages, and we just need to be quiet and listen, because just like the spirit guides, you know, they can't get that message through if we're all over the place and, you know, whatever the case, they're there to help us.
Right. The message is hard to come through if your mind's cluttered, right. And unless you slow down and open yourself up and clear your mind as best you can. For me, it's very hard to clear my mind.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things.
That's true for a lot of people.
And it's the oddest thing. When I do sit down and try to clear my head, then music pops in my head.
And then you're thinking about me, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, honey, I am thinking about you. And it is. It's hard to get your head clear to receive those messages.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, I'm going to say animal guides are different from the spirit guide in that they're meant to bring attention to a part of your life that needs to be acknowledged and explored in a specific way. Where your spirit guide is with you to provide guidance. And I don't want to say blanket guidance, because that's not true. Some of them are there for the long haul from beginning to end, and others are there for specific reasons like career guidance and education and finances and whatever. But animal guides very much resonate with a specific part of you, where like a spirit guide doesn't. Does that make sense? It makes sense in my head.
Do you have multiple spirit animals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So over the years, and I didn't understand this at first, but over the years, there's one in particular that has come to me in dreams, and that's been the snake. So I dream about snakes. I mean, like every few months I might have like a snake dream.
And snakes, I know, scare a lot of people, mm-hmm. but snakes,
oh, they scare the S out of me.
But snakes in this sense, mm-hmm. is about healing.
Well, and that's the thing, is that depending on the belief system, and I mean that as in the spiritual group, if you will,
mm-hmm.
if it's shamans, if it's Christians or Buddhists or Indians or whatever it is, they all may believe it to be a little bit different. So for some, it's a negative thing. For others, it's super positive. For some, it's, you know, it's about financial abundance. For others, it's your house is going to burn, or, you know, it really, I think you have to use your best judgment in that case and really identify what it means to you specifically. But yeah, snakes have appeared in my dreams for many, many years, and I didn't understand why. And now I understand that they are communicating with me, and that's one of my animals.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's a little bit creepy. And I don't mean creepy like, oh, it's a ghost snake. I mean, like, you know, I might be afraid of them in my dream.
Well, they slither.
Yeah, yeah. Other times in my dreams, they are super colorful, like these vibrant, amazing colors, like no snake I've ever seen. And they're just like, you know, the vibe I get from them is super friendly. Like, it's positive.
Like a friendly rainbow snake.
Right. A unicorn snake. Yeah, so it really, like, it matters how you feel about it and what you're taking away from it. And you want to explore that, you know? You definitely want to explore that. So I have a fear of snakes. If I saw one in my yard, I wouldn't run up to and be like, oh my God, a snake. I would be like, oh my God, a snake. Run the other way. Now, I will say that this weird, like, I don't know what it is, this weird thing where I think about when I'm going to go in my garage and, like, that's where my washer and dryer is. So I have to go out there and do stuff. And for a while, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to see, like, this black snake. It was the most random thing. Like, for months, this went on. And there was, like, a fear of, like, oh my God, I'm going to see this, like, black snake slither across the garage floor. And then it slowly turned into, like, I don't want to say, like, I was welcoming it, but I was more comfortable where it wasn't, oh my God, I'm going to see this black snake. It became a, oh, there might be a snake.
Did you get comfortable with that idea after you realized the snake was spirit guide or animal guide?
Man, that's a tough thing to answer. I really don't remember. Maybe so. If I'm thinking back correctly, I do think that I started to put it together where it was really like a messenger for me and meant for help and healing and balance and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I have not done my research and looked into it the way I should or the way I would like to at some point. But I do know that I feel more comfortable. Now, if I see one on the tree, am I A-okay? I highly doubt it. But
no, if I see a snake in a tree, I'm running and screaming because they might fall on me.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting that close. Like, that's just no. Mm-mm. I mean, if I saw one in person, which I haven't seen one in a long time, but if I did, like, I don't know what my reaction would be right now. I don't feel like I'm going to be super chummy with it, but I feel like part of me is going to feel bad for feeling that way. I'm going to be like, I'm so sorry.
Well, being in Florida, I mean, I can't tell the difference between a poisonous snake and a non-poisonous snake.
Listen,
so
have you heard the whole, like, look at their eyes and look at the color? And
it don't matter if I see a snake. All that logic is just going to shut off. Oh, no,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm out.
Because, listen, we have a lot of friends here that live in the country. And there are these rules of, like, oh, if the eyes are shaped like this, then they're not poisonous. Or if this color is touching this color. Listen, I am not getting close enough to check any of that crap out.
I'm not hanging around that long.
No. Let me tell you, one morning I had to be at work super early to let somebody in for some crap. I don't know what the heck. And I come around, I parked on the side of one of the buildings, and I had to walk through the grass and, like, pine straw to come to the back door of the building that I had to unlock.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm coming through there, I'm like, oh, baby Jesus, please don't let me see a snake because I will lose my everything. And what happens? I get to the back door of this building and there is this, like, teeny tiny, like, red colored snake or some crap. And I literally do this, stop dead in my tracks, and I go, that is my response, like my reaction to the snake. He was so tiny. But I slowly backed up. I'm like, you know what? The door is all yours.
You can have it.
Yeah.
I'm out.
We don't need it. It's all good. We'll sell the building. And I left. That was my response. But that's typically my response when I am encountered with something that I don't care for, like a, you know, gigantic roach or something, or I go, like, it's like a momentary freeze, like a lockup. So, yeah, no, it's not good. That's not the response you want.
I scream, and somebody better come run and help me.
Yeah, no, I was walking out of the building one day, and there was equally tiny snake. I mean, so, like, he was longer than a pencil, but not any chubbier. Like, he was a small guy. And I open the door, and I go to step outside, same response. And I come back in, and I say to one of my coworkers, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there is this enormous snake outside. Can you please go get him out of the way? And he goes out there, and he's like, what are you talking about that worm? I'm like, that's a snake. It was a snake, you guys, I swear, but... In any event, we got way off topic, but that's, now you guys know how I respond in critical situations.
And this is your animal guide.
This is one of my guides, yeah.
I feel for your guide.
No, I was just about to say, my snake guide is super embarrassed to have me as a as someone they've got to look after. They're like, are you kidding us with this crap? This is what you sent us to watch over. This joke of a human. Yeah, sorry snakes, that's what it is. So anyway, back on topic, one of my animal guides is the snake. I also, like, early on encountered elephants in my meditations.
Elephants.
It was very cool, and it's been a while since that has happened, but early on it was in a lot of my meditations. I would see elephants. You look puzzled.
I'm just trying to, I mean, how, what were they doing?
I mean, I don't remember, but I remember them being present. Some of them were, or maybe a lot of them even, just were not elephants of this realm. They were like...
celestial elephants?
Yeah, like, I mean, magnificent colors and like...
So we're back to your rainbow animals. Right?
Like crapping stars, I don't remember. Yeah, I would see them in meditation. It was really neat. Really, really neat. So I quickly, like, received that message that they were there for guidance.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow animals. Yeah, I think that's called yogurt. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So are there, do you think, like, spirit guides that are there for different purposes? You know, they're the primary ones for sure that are with you all the time. But do you think that's true with animal guides too?
I think the animal guides are there to help you through hard situations. Mm-hmm. I've had more communication with my spirit guides than I have my spirit animal.
Right.
Actually, I've struggled with the whole spirit animal concept. I mean, I totally believe it. Mm-hmm. It's just my connection personally to the spirit animals. It took many meditations, you know, because, you know, when I first heard the concept, I wanted it to be, mm-hmm, you know, something I could relate to. I wanted it to be, you know, a big cat, you know, because, you know, I love cats. I was thinking, oh, mine's going to be a lion or a mountain lion or a jaguar or something.
Was it a cricket?
You know, or a dolphin. Mm-hmm. You know, I love dolphins. Okay, my spirit guide's going to be a dolphin or, mm-hmm, or whatever. And it was none of those things. It was none of my favorite animals. And it took me a long time to realize that my spirit animal was either a falcon or a bald eagle.
Oh, those are cool.
And it took a lot of meditations when I was first introduced to that concept. Like, that makes no sense. I mean, I don't resonate with that at all. And I worked with my pendulum on it and through other meditations, and finally the meditation that convinced me that it's this big bird of some sort. I still don't know if it's a bald eagle or a falcon. But I had all these animals in my vision, and this eagle basically came along and knocked them all out. Like,
really?
Just did away with them. Like, you go away, you go away. I mean, and he was like, I'm it. Deal with me.
Wow. Like,
okay.
That's crazy.
Okay. I accept it. And then what kind of sealed the deal was when we did the Reiki session the weekend after I broke my ankle.
Oh, right, right, right.
And you were working on the rest of me, and our teacher concentrated on my ankle. And she told me, you know, one of the elements of the Reiki session, there were a lot of elements, was one of them was that a falcon had come down and was watching over everything. And I don't know if he was inspecting what everyone was doing, but he was definitely keeping a watchful eye on the process.
Wow.
And it's like that meant something to me. You know, again, you know, I was thinking bald eagle, mm-hmm, or falcon. She went the falcon route, but it was still a big bird of prey, basically. That's been the extent of my dealings with my spirit animal. So,
yeah, I do believe that animal guides, like spirit guides, have specific purposes, except like we said, the animal guide, the difference there is that the animal guide is there to help you with something that pertains to you specifically. So it could be, I don't know, it's like a personal challenge, like you are anxious all the time, or you have trouble socializing. So that animal medicine would be specific to that. So I do think at different times, just like with spirit guides, you'll have a different animal guide. And not that they go away, but they're more, you know, primary during those times while you work on those things, trust issues or weight loss or health or whatever it is, like something you specific, and they'll help you with that stuff. And then they kind of, you know, move to the back of the line, if you will.
Right, right.
So, you know, in addition to that, I do think that we have multiple animal guides. And like I said, I know about the snakes and I know about the elephant. And recently, very recently, like a couple weeks ago, I found out that I also have the raven, and not the Baltimore raven, Marie. Woo-hoo! So, yeah, the raven has been hanging out with me lately, and this is not in meditation. This is like my eyes wide open.
Right. Here on,
yeah, the physical birds, yeah. And so we have been, I see them at work, and I know my team and I have been in that building for like 2-3 years now. I've never seen a freaking raven.
No, I don't think
ever,
I've seen,
ever.
I don't think I've seen a raven for as long as I've lived here.
Right. And so this one day, you know, a couple weeks ago, I'm, you know, working away, or, you know, supposedly working. And I hear this like tap, tap, tap on my window. And I kind of turn around real quick, don't see anything, and keep working. And, you know, we have these little birds and doves and stuff that hang out outside the window. And I just assume that they were out there, you know, doing what birds do. I don't know what that is, but. And then a coworker happened to be standing in my doorway and says, oh, my God, is that a raven? And I turn around and look, because I have not seen a raven ever, or that I know of. And I'm like, oh, my God, that bird is stunning. It was so beautiful and black. And then suddenly he goes, oh, my God, there's another one. And there were these two ravens. And like 3 days later, same thing happens. I'm in my office. And this time, you know, another coworker is in there with me, and I swear I work. But we were gabbing at the time. And she goes, oh, my gosh, is that a raven? And I stand up and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is like the second time in 3 or 4 days. And so we see the one, and then another one, and then another one. And I think by the time all was said and done, there were like 5 or 7 of them. And they're like right there by my window. And she turns to me and she goes, I think someone has a message for you. And sure enough, I ended up meeting a new guide, a new spirit guide, and she said that those ravens were also guides for me, and that she had sent them specifically to get my attention, because I think that day that I had met that guide, I was leaving work And as I was walking to my car, I saw a raven fly from a tree way across the parking lot and fly like in my direction and go directly overhead and over the building. And then another one comes. And I'm like, seriously, guys, what the? So, yeah.
The same flock's hanging around.
Right. I've never seen them before. Haven't seen them since. But that was, what, three separate days in like a week that I saw these ravens. And it was so, and I kept looking it up. I'm like, are they crows or are they ravens? Are they crows? But they were ravens. Everything was, and, you know, she confirmed that. And I checked with my pendulum and I meditated and I, yeah, and it was ravens. So now I've met three of them.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And these guys, you know, like I said, in physical form, and they, you know, this particular spirit guide had, you know, she was definitely trying to get my attention and she was like, listen here, girl. So, yeah, it was very cool. So, you know, I think one of the things to know is that, well, let me say this. Marie, do you think that it is important to know the details of your animal guide?
No, I think the message that they're trying to send you is the important part.
Yeah. See, I think some of the details are important, such as like appearance and the characteristics, and because it does help you to identify what you need to be working on, like what their message is. You know what I mean?
I think it relates to their message.
Yeah.
But I think the message is the important part of it.
It is.
I don't need to know my falcon's or my bald eagle's name. You know?
No. I totally agree with that. Just like with a spirit guide.
Right.
It's not important. It carries zero weight. I do think with the animal guide, you would want to know what this guide looks like and what it is. You know, if it's just, you're like, oh, it's a bear, but you've never seen it. How do you really know? But also, I think it's important for you to understand how that animal moves, how it's, you know, what its coloring is, or is it a loner? Does it hang out in a, you know, in a pair or in a group? Or because it really does help you to identify what you should be working on. You know, if the animal is known for protection, maybe that's something you need to work on. Protection for you, helping others to feel protected, whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. I thought maybe I wasn't making sense. So, you know, if you want to get to know your guide, your animal guide, what do?
Meditate.
Yes. I think that word comes up in every episode, except the scary ones.
Well, I think it's important. Personally, that's how the messages come to me the most, is through meditation. And I try to write down the things that I learn in that meditation, because I will forget. And I mean, there are meditations just from 2 months ago that I went back and read and I just have no memory of. So I'm glad I wrote them down, because some of those messages, you know, apply today. It's like, oh, wow. Right. Why didn't I listen to that 2 months ago? I just simply noted it, wrote it down, and moved on, which I think is part of my problem. I'm too busy moving on and not sitting and listening and learning.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It does take time. It does take patience. Meditation is an awesome way to meet your animal guides. And, you know, I think when you go in, you want to set the intention and ask for your animal guide to reveal itself to you during that meditation. And then you wait patiently. Is it going to happen that session? Maybe not, but it might.
Yeah, like I said, it took me forever. I mean, I've been meditating for a number of years now, off and on. I mean, I should meditate more, but it did. It took a long time to figure out the whole animal guide
right
situation.
I don't know that I've ever gone into a meditation and asked to meet a guide, an animal guide. I should really work on that.
Well, they just come to you naturally.
I get, they just show up at my window.
Right. And when you don't listen, they just come knocking on your door in real life. And
no, they just come harder is what they do. They're like, listen.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, maybe they didn't land on your head or something.
Right.
Or worse.
It's going to happen. Wait. So I want to know, you know, funny as this might seem, like, it's important to be aware that not everyone has like this massive wolf or lion or, you know, amazing bird with the wingspan of like a Cadillac or something. I don't know, some burly animal guide. Like it's just not what it is for everybody. Some people might, like I joked about this earlier with Marie, some people might legitimately have a cricket or a bee or an ant or
a butterfly.
Yeah, it could be a roach. But these guys, like, they've got messages. These are living beings, and they have their own medicine that they offer, you know? So grossed out as we might be, or sorry, snakes, if we run, you know, no offense.
Hard to hear the message when you're running away from them.
Right. I'm like, speaking to my good ear. But yeah, I mean, they're not all these like burly animals. It could be like a little guy, a teeny tiny guy.
Yeah, I've heard people say that their guide is a wolf. Mm-hmm. I've heard a bald eagle from other people. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting, and it's not what you expect or hope.
Right.
Like I said, I wanted a dolphin.
Mm-hmm. But I want an Oompa Loompa.
But no, mine is a bird of prey of some sort. Mm-hmm. And that's cool unto itself. I mean, they fly and have visions and they're free. And
have you looked into it? Have you done some research on the falcon?
I've done it more on the eagle side, mm-hmm. a little bit on the falcon side. But
do they look the same, or you just can't tell which bird is the one that's guiding you?
I can't tell which is guiding me.
But in that Reiki session, you were told that there was a falcon watching over.
Yes, so, watching over the process.
So would you assume now that it is the falcon and not the eagle?
Yeah, leaning more toward that way. Yeah. But like I said, that was her communicating that, what she saw. Mm-hmm. So... But yeah, that's a good point. I have a feeling that it will come into play when I need it the most.
Right.
And that time just hasn't come yet.
Right. So yeah, like Marie was saying, we do have a friend who does have a wolf, and it's like a pretty massive wolf. And one of our other friends has seen this wolf whilst... I love that word. While performing a Reiki session on this friend, and he was like taken aback by it. I remember him telling that story.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. It was pretty massive. It's one of those ones that we probably all hope for. Like, oh, this amazing, you know, 10-story wolf.
This big, badass wolf.
So listen to this. We did get this really cool story from John, friend to the show. And he said, a few months ago, I went for a Reiki session. About halfway through, I heard howling pretty distinctly in a Reiki session.
Like a wolf howling?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, we've talked about the different really neat experiences that can go down in a Reiki session.
Oh, yeah.
So John, friend to the show, is saying, you know, halfway through, heard the howling pretty distinctly. Then just like that, I was on a hilly mountaintop with fresh snow and trees everywhere when the sun was going down. A huge wolf was in the middle of the scene howling away. It felt really warm there, yet it was still a winter setting. Isn't that incredible?
That is
so
cool.
I think that he totally met an animal guide.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a cool scene, though. Like, and that happens. I mean, that happens in meditation. That happens during, not that it does happen. It can happen. It can happen in meditation. It can happen during Reiki sessions. It, you know, when you disconnect from the physical world and fully engage with the spirit world, those things can really happen. And I really do believe that he met an animal guide.
Oh, very much so.
Mm-hmm. So, John, thank you for sharing that with us. We really appreciate it. So I think, you know, it's important to, you know, be open to receive those messages. Like, you know, like in that Reiki session that, you know, John was having, you're just open to it and see what's going on. Be observant when you're out in nature. Take note of repetitive encounters with animals. Like, you know, I have those dreams with snakes. take note of it. It took me a long time to figure out that that was an animal guide. But, you know, if you keep seeing that animal or like the ravens that I was seeing for a week, take notice. Something's up. It's no coincidence.
Yep. Pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you meet your animal guide? You know, like we said before, study it. Start doing your research. See how that animal resonates with you. Like what makes sense? What doesn't make sense? And really just, you know, look at the traits, look at the characteristics. Understand why that animal chose you, because they choose you, you don't choose them.
Right.
And, you know, by doing that, you can begin to identify what needs to be addressed within yourself. If you see the animal in physical form, take note of how it carries itself. How does it move? Is it, you know, by itself? Is it in a pack? Like we said, you know, is it a cautious animal? Is it a risk taker? Take notice of all that. It's going to help you. And then, you know, I think one of the most important things is notice how the animal makes you feel. Like I said, in those dreams, sometimes I feel afraid. Other times, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, look at that cool snake. Like it's intriguing and it's captivating, or I feel totally fine. I feel safe with them in my presence. And, you know, with the ravens, I just felt I was in awe. I'm like, wow, what an amazing looking bird. I mean, I had just never, like I said, if I've seen one before, I have no memory of it. But seeing one and then seeing it that close, incredible.
And I think it's important to emphasize, note how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so important.
It is. It is, because that animal guide is the embodiment of your inner self. It really is. I mean, it's you. It's medicine is specific to something you need. So yeah, you for sure want to acknowledge how you're feeling about it. And, you know, as you become more comfortable with it, you may notice that your relationship with it and to it changes, because you're now changing and you're acknowledging some things, or, you know, addressing some things that you maybe weren't aware of before.
You're growing.
Mm-hmm. So you may notice that, you know, those things begin to change. So, you know, you have what we'll call the falcon eagle. We don't know. We don't know.
What are you talking about?
We don't know what you have yet, but your feagle communicates with you through meditation, sometimes through Reiki. We've talked about dreams. Yes. How else do they communicate with us? Well, the repetitive, like the raven coming, you know, repeatedly. Right. It's like, hey, over here.
Right. I think much like your spirit guides mm-hmm. do, you know, through your dreams and through visions and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, they're going to find a way to get that message to you. So the biggest thing I could say is practice and patience. I mean, really is. Practice the meditation. Set the intention and ask them to reveal themselves. Ask them to help you. You know, ask them for the help, just like you would a spirit guide, just like you would if you were in prayer. You know, talk to them. They can hear you.
And they may not come immediately, because right. you may not need them at that time.
Very true. Very
they may true. Not reveal themselves until the time is right.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's very true. You know, you can, in addition to just asking them through the meditation, you can ask them to visit you in a dream. And I think, Marie, you said that. You know, I just ask them for that. I've asked that of my spirit guides before. You know, I go to sleep with a question and say, can you answer this for me? And just because you don't remember the answer doesn't mean that they didn't come. Because when it's time for you to use that information, it'll become known to you.
So when you wake up from a dream, do you immediately write it down?
No. More times than not, I don't. Unless it's something that really stood out to me. And often I remember just like bits and pieces of a dream. And if it really stood out at all, I will write it down.
Yeah. I mean, there are times that I've woken up from a dream and I thought, oh, that is so boring. Right. I don't even bother writing it down.
Right. But I was sitting on the grass. Yeah, who cares?
Or I immediately understand the significance of it, and it's so insignificant
right.
that, you know, I just don't bother writing it down.
Right.
but there sometimes, and I have a dream and I do remember it when I wake up and I don't understand it at all, then I will try to remember to write it down because it might mean something later.
Very true. Very true. I definitely need to get better about that. And here lately I've been remembering more snippets than, you know, I kind of go through phases, I think, when I need to remember stuff.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Mm-hmm. So here lately I've had these like little snippets and I tell myself in the moment, I'm like, oh, I should really write this down. And then I get sidetracked with like feeding my dog's breakfast or something. And then like,
well, and in journaling the dream, I mean, I try to do it right when I wake up. I keep a little notebook beside my bed. I mean, even before I brush my teeth.
But do you like turn on a lamp and all that?
Well, I have to.
See, I can't do that because Sean's like dead asleep next to me. Yeah, like it's...
Will it wake him up?
Yeah, because, you know, I've read about this, you guys, like dream journaling or, you know, whatever it's called. When you wake up, you should immediately grab your notebook and your pen and write it down and, you know, whatever the crap.
Can you grab your notebook and go to the next room and
immediately? No, but here's what I'm about to say. They say you need to do it immediately, like before you get up and do anything, before you move. Like the only movement you should make is to grab that notebook and pen and write it down. Number one, listen, I can't turn a damn light on because everybody in my room is sound asleep, including any beings that are visiting. Secondly, my bladder is freaking busting. Right. Like I've been asleep for 6 hours and like I have to go.
Right. You're right. And I try to write as much down as I can, mm-hmm. but I'm doing the pee-pee dance. I gotta go. Right. I gotta go.
And you know what? Sometimes like once I move around is when things will come to me. And I mean, I don't know, you guys. I don't know the rules with dream journaling. I really don't. I know the stuff I've read. It doesn't resonate for me. I can't turn on a daggone light at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m.
Right.
Well, I might get divorced over that. Like, Sean will be like, what the hell?
Go potty, go to the next room, and start writing down everything you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I usually, you know, I get up, I let my dogs out, I feed them, and while they're eating... You know, and it's not a lot of time, you guys. Like, they inhale their food. If I could give them a straw, it might make things easier because you just suck it up. But, I mean, like 30 seconds, if that, and they're done with their food. But while they're eating, I quick, like, break out my iPad and start, you know, typing away and just journal what I can remember because I don't handwrite it. I just...
See, I handwrite it.
I don't know.
I'm old school.
I like the old school way, but I will tell you honestly, I have got, I don't know how many little journals lying around here with like 7 pages filled out. And then I stop and then I commit again and I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. And I don't know where that notebook is. So I'm going to get a new one. And I get a new pretty one with like stars or some crap. And then I do it for like a few days. And yeah. So the iPad is like the easiest for me. I've got a little notebook in there and I put all my crap in there and it's perfect. And then if I need to see it like on my phone, I can.
Oh, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Convenient.
Then I can retrieve it from wherever. But that's not the point of all this. So anyway, back to the topic at hand. You can ask your animal guides to visit you in your dreams.
Yes.
And give you the messages you need and all that good stuff. You can talk to them and, you know, they like to interact with us. So just... talk to them, ask for their guidance, because they don't like to interfere if you've not invited them. They don't just invite themselves. Typically, you know what I mean?
Oh, they did in your case.
They had some stuff to say. They had some stuff. So, you know, another way that I've not tried this myself, I have talked to people that have communicated with their animal guides through tarot, which, you know, I haven't tried it, but...
I haven't tried that either.
Mm-hmm. But I really don't know why the message would be any different, you know. But you are asking a specific source, so I kind of get it, I guess.
Oh, I think tarot is just another form of communication. It's not something I've learned yet.
Right.
It's on my to-do list.
I know some.
Numerology and tarot is two things I definitely want to learn.
Yeah, I know some tarot. But, you know, the other thing you can do is you can ask somebody that's a little more intuitive than you are. If you don't feel comfortable and you don't really trust the information you're getting, talk to somebody that's intuitive, you know, that uses that intuitive muscle all the time and is comfortable with the information they receive. And there you go.
Ask for help. Mm-hmm. Always a good thing.
Ask for help. But yeah, you know, just like with spirit guides, our animal guides are always with us. And they, you know, they've got their own messages they've got to deliver, their own medicine to deliver to you. And they're freaking awesome. I can't wait to keep meeting my animal guides. Who knows what I have next?
There is no a wasp telling.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that brings up a good point. I don't know if I've ever talked about the wasp on the show, but so my team and I used to be in a different building on our campus at work. And we used to get wasps in our building all the time during the summer. And one of my coworkers would freak out and I would go get a cup and get the wasp and escort him out of the building. This would happen like all the time.
You would put the wasp in the cup.
Yeah. And like put a piece of paper over it and then like escort him outside. Like I didn't want to kill him. I felt really bad. So I used to do this all the time and he would freak out. Yes, he, my coworker, and say, oh my God, there's another wasp. And so this was like almost daily I was doing this. So I thought I had built up all this goodwill in the wasp community.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then last summer, we're doing a construction project. We're on the rooftop of this school, walking past, I don't even remember what the hell. Suddenly I feel like someone has shot me in the hand. I mean, it was like this massive immediate pain. And I'm like, what the? I mean, I don't know how many cuss words came out of my mouth because I cuss a lot.
It's you got stung.
I got so stung by a freaking wasp. And I'm with a group of like five guys, not the restaurant. And and I think a couple go, oh my God, you just got stung by a wasp. Are you allergic? I was like, we're about to find out.
Oh, no.
I had no idea. In the end, no, I was not allergic. But pissed as hell because I'm like, do you know how many of your friends I helped? Do you not know me?
You felt betrayed.
I did feel betrayed.
By the wasp community.
I felt stabbed in the front.
You were stabbed in your hand.
Dude, that hurts so bad.
It did. That's, oh. I've got a healthy fear of wasps.
Have you been stung?
Yes.
Oh, it's horrible. Sucks. Yeah. My hand ached for days.
Yes, it's terrible.
I was like, you son of a bitch. How dare you? Do you not know me but at all?
Yeah.
And now, you know, I'd like to say that now I seek them with, you know, vengeance in my heart, but I don't. I'm still like, oh, asshole, but, you know, I don't know. Anyway, animal guides. I don't think the wasp is one of mine. That was just mean.
Yes, that was mean and hateful.
Mm-hmm. It was super hateful. So, yeah, that is our story on the animal guides. So, you guys, if you have any stories of your own with animal guides, we would love to hear them. We would absolutely love to hear them. And, you know, like we said at the beginning of the episode, this is just like scratching the surface. There's so much to know about this topic and every other topic we cover. And we will dive deeper every time we cover it. But this is really just like the 101 course. Super basic.
Exactly. And it's what we're learning and what we're sharing with mm-hmm. you and
our experience.
We'll figure it out together eventually.
Oh yeah. So yeah, you guys, send us your story, send us your questions. If you guys have episode suggestions, anything you want us to talk about, let us know. Contact us at themediummatters.com and make sure you listen and subscribe to the show on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher. And leave us a stellar review because we're so amazing and we love you. So we really do love to read your reviews and see who's following the show. I mean, it really means the world to us because we work so hard. And, you know, for upcoming events and shows and show notes and blog posts, you can also check out the website at themediummatters.com. And don't forget that you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Media Matters. And that is all that I have. Are you done? Marie's done. Marie's hungry. Oh, God. You guys, we really do love you. We appreciate that you guys hang with us. And, you know, we really just enjoy your friendship. Thank you for tuning in and enjoying the show.
Yes. And again, if you do start meditating and you do start exploring the concept of the spirit animal and your spirit guides and you're willing to share it with us, please do.
Yeah. Because I would love to know about
it. I love hearing people's experiences.
Mm-hmm. And thank you again to John for sharing that awesome story of the wolf you encounter during that Reiki session. That's incredible. So with that, you guys, we are done with our animal guide episode 11, 12, 13, 14. I don't know what episode we're on. We're in the double digits now. I'm so excited.
I know.
I love it.
It's like we're growing up.
And you know what, you guys, we're that much closer to Halloween. And you know what that means? We are bringing the nitty gritty two times a week. Right, Marie?
Retro.
Mm-hmm. We're bringing the scary every Tuesday and every Thursday in the month of October.
I am so wearing the amethyst.
Marie is afraid already. If you guys have any paranormal, scary, creepy topics you want us to cover for the month of October, make sure you contact us at themedium@themediummatters.com. Let us know, or let us know on Twitter or Facebook, whatever. Get the message to us. Carrier pigeon, the feagle, the falcon eagle, whatever. Make sure we know about it, because we want to make sure we're covering content that you guys want to hear. So the month of October is going to be super exciting. Halloween is one of my absolute favorite holidays. And poor Marie, she's in for a freaking treat, because it's going to be nonstop creepy. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my gosh, what have I got myself into?
Mm-hmm. Good luck to you, buddy. Good luck to you. So with that, you guys, thank you again so much for joining us on another bomb.com episode of The Media Matters. Don't forget to follow us, subscribe, you know, smoke signal, whatever. We really do love you guys. We appreciate you. And we're going to keep churning out the awesome content just for you.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Love and light. Good night, everybody.
Good night.